Hey everyone, it's pianist Peter Dugan here, and welcome to this week's podcast, which combines kids playing in remote studios around the country with some in-person recording that I did with young performers in Boston and in New York City. One of the musicians you're going to hear is Sarah Ma, who's actually the first from-the-top young artist that I performed with live since the pandemic began, and I'll never forget that moment. Sarah plays Amy Beach's Romance, and it's just stunning. Her sound is huge and powerful and emotional, and I literally got goosebumps doing our first run-through of the piece. It was just remarkable. Plus, I have to mention Vibha Janakiraman, who's from the Philadelphia area, my hometown, and even though I listened to her session remotely over Zoom, it was mesmerizing the way she performed. I and all of us at From the Top who were on the call, we're just transfixed by this performance, so I know that you're going to feel the same way when you hear it. So it's going to be a great show. Real quick, though, as a reminder, if you like what you hear today, please remember From the Top is a small independent nonprofit, and if you'd consider making a contribution to our efforts at fromthetop.org, we'd really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, and enjoy the show.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, pianist Peter Dugan.
Thanks, Joanne. One of the reasons why we promote young artists week after week on our program is because we truly believe that they are forces for good. Lately, I've really felt that more than ever. Their creativity, their positivity, their intellectual curiosity cannot and will not be stopped by anything, certainly not by this pandemic. Like 17-year-old violinist Sarah Ma, who we're going to hear coming up. Beyond her music, she organizes multi-sided political debates online and has tens of thousands of followers. Or the young saxophonist from Vermont. Gosh, her sound is so warm, it feels like a Vermont summer day. And then there's the violinist Vibha Janakiraman on the second half of the show. I could talk to her about music theory forever. She's conversant in both Western and Indian classical music traditions. And then there's this firecracker up first that we're going to hear perform Beethoven. His name is Andrew Gu, and he's from Milton, Massachusetts. Here he is performing the first movement of the Sonata in D Major, Opus 10, Number 3. And Andrew is 14 years old.
Thank you.
That was the opening movement of Beethoven's Sonata No. 7 in D major, Opus 10 No. 3, performed by 14-year-old pianist Andrew Gu from Milton, Massachusetts. Andrew, you play that piece with such power, such bravado, which is what early Beethoven needs. You know, this was a flashy period of time for him. In addition to enjoying the way you play the piano, I also love the way that you think, just in general. I know that like when you get into something, you love to learn all of its stats and features and figures. It's a sort of scientific, quantifiable way of looking at the world. In fact, we're going to launch into a brand new segment of the show that we're calling Stats and Features.
Stats and Features.
I'm talking about the stats
and features.
What do you think of that?
Quite interesting. Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the stats and features.
Yeah, okay.
List some of the stats or features of your pet chameleon.
My pet chameleon can stick its tongue out like 1.5 times its body length to catch some prey, and it can change colors depending on how it's feeling in the environment. The eyes can rotate 180 degrees plus, and their eyes move independently.
Plus, you name them Mickey and Minnie.
Yes.
Have they ever gone together, made any little chameleonettes?
They actually have, but the eggs all died over the summer.
Let's move on. Tell me about the facts and features of your favorite sports cars.
I really like classic supercars from like the 70s and 80s, and now like the Bugatti Bolide, which just came out a few days ago or a week ago, and things like that are basically focused on like angles, modernism, the torque, the horsepower, and the speed. It comes with the same engine as the Bugatti Chiron, the 16-cylinder engine. Should be around 1,600 horsepower.
Oof. Let's talk about sneakers for a second. Tell me about some stats and features with sneakers.
I feel like every time you look at someone, their shoes are 90% of their outfit. And I saw a picture of some guy with these red sneakers that I thought looked really cool, and I couldn't believe my eyes. They were $9,000 on this website called StockX.
Whoa.
And I checked the retail price of it. It was $190. A lot of people want them, so they build bots. It's so competitive, huge lines. They wait overnight just to get these sneakers off retail price.
Right. So now you're thinking of getting in there, buying them up on the day they're released, and then reselling them for a profit.
Reselling them, yeah.
Smart man. Well, do you know any of the stats and features of this beautiful piano you just played?
Can tell it's 9 feet. Not much more than that.
9 feet is correct. This is a Yamaha CFX. Yeah. Clocking in at a heavyweight champion heft of 1,082 pounds, this beauty sits at a height of 40 and a half inches. For the soundboard and ribs, we got nothing but the finest European spruce, and that's with a hand-molded sand cast frame. And these hammer shanks are specially designed. That's right. Specially designed hammer shanks.
Wow.
I'm a proud Yamaha artist, obviously.
Yeah.
But seriously, all that aside, I'm guessing that it's not just the stats and features that make you love this instrument, right?
Yeah. I also have to remember, like, playing piano is making an inanimate object sing to people and can tell stories with it. It's a powerful tool.
Well, in a way, for you as a pianist, that's your greatest feature, is that you can take an inanimate object and bring it to life. You know?
Yes, I guess.
That's your superpower. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with us, for entertaining us with this game, but also, more importantly, for your beautiful performance. Thanks, Andrew. Okay.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my music and thoughts on stats and features.
Stats and features.
Andrew Gu, 14 years old, from Milton, Massachusetts.
If you subscribe to From the Tops podcast, you can download whatever episodes you want and listen on demand. They're available at fromthetop.org. For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more.
The young violinist Sarah Ma is up next, and she brought a piece of music that I'd never played before. The Romance by Amy Beach. Now, From the Top's music director, Megan Swan, wanted her to play this piece not only because it's frankly gorgeous, but because Amy Beach is actually a major hero for Sarah. Even knowing all of that, though, I was blown away by the level of commitment and emotion that Sarah brought to the piece. So here it is. This is 17-year-old Sarah Ma from Garden City, New York, performing Amy Beach's Romance, and it's yours truly at the piano. Sarah Ma, 17 years old from Garden City, New York, performed the Romance for Violin and Piano by Amy Beach, and I had the great pleasure of joining Sarah over at the piano. What a beautiful and passionate performance of that piece.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of music I've ever played.
I know that you love this piece because it's just so gorgeous, but also you wanted to champion it because you found yourself really identifying with Amy Beach's life story.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we all know that this is a very isolated piece of music that is seldom programmed on any modern programs of performance. And that was strictly because Amy Beach found difficulty in pioneering her career as a musician and as a composer. Growing up, she faced a lot of sexism, and her mother didn't actually want her to become a pianist, despite her showing clear talent from, like, the age of two, I believe she was improvising. And then at the age of four, she was composing waltzes. She was actually the first American woman to publish a symphony. So despite her clear talent and ability to prosper in the arts, people would always tell her that she was talented, but never told her that she could train and really engage in technical training.
Well, we still have a long way to go, but I think, you know, it's you and your peers in your generation who are pushing things constantly in the right direction. Well, I want to talk about something outside of music now, which is your hugely successful social media presence, and specifically as a political voice. You have 75,000 followers on TikTok. What goes on your TikTok page?
I started the page around, I believe, March. I actually had like no followers. I remember FaceTiming my friends and being like, oh gosh, I'm making so many videos, but I still have like 100 followers. It's crazy. And then overnight, I just blew up. And since then, I started engaging in a lot of debates on YouTube, trying to move my platform a little bit towards YouTube to do more open conversations about politics.
It's a beautiful thing because, you know, so many people turn to social media to just find other people who agree with them, right? I'm inspired by the fact that you turn to social media to engage in debates with people who maybe don't necessarily see eye to eye with you.
Yeah, it's very challenging and frustrating. I've taken many Advil after debates, but it's very worth it.
I'm curious, when you get into a debate like that with someone who maybe doesn't see eye to eye with you, is your goal to change their mind or to change the minds of others who might be watching?
See, this is an interesting question because I think it's a combination of both, but I think sometimes it's one or the other. I think I encounter more people who refuse to change their minds than people who are open to changing their minds. I mean, I've done probably around 8 public debates, and out of those, I think only 2 of them, they were open to changing their mind. And when I do private debates, it's the same situation. So when I do a public debate, my goal is more so to show flaw in argument and change the perception of viewers.
Yep.
But when I talk to people individually, obviously, it's a different scenario, yeah.
If people want to tune in to one of your debates, where do they go?
My YouTube channel. It's my full name, Sarah Ma, except instead of an R, it's a W, so Sawa Ma.
Nice. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today and for that absolutely stunning performance.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, if Sarah's entrepreneurship and her level of social engagement impresses you, with Jamie Billings, the young saxophonist who we're going to meet now, you'll hear a similar combination of musical dedication and drive to make the world a better place. Of course, Jamie's musical performance itself actually makes this world a better place. She's going to perform the second and third movement of Darius Milhaud's Scaramouche. Peter Dugan here, and I'll be joining her at the piano.
Thank you.
16-year-old saxophonist Jamie Billings from Underhill, Vermont, performed the second and third movements of Scaramouche by Darius Milhaud, and I had the great fun of performing with her at the piano. Jamie, that was a blast. I had so much fun doing that.
Thanks, me too.
You played it beautifully. I love the serene second movement in that piece.
Yeah, the second movement's definitely a hidden gem.
For sure. Let's talk about Underhill, Vermont, where you're from. Is that name descriptive? I mean, is it literally Underhill?
Yes. We live pretty much underneath Mount Mansfield, which is the largest mountain in Vermont.
I don't know whether it's reality or just a good PR campaign, but every time I think about the state of Vermont, it just fills me with happy, positive, fuzzy feelings. So let's have a chat about your life in the Green Mountain State.
Falling leaves, a sycamore. Moonlight in Vermont.
We have the Vermont public school system to thank for introducing you to the saxophone. Tell me the story behind that.
Well, I was in fourth grade and I was playing the recorder, as you do.
Right.
And my music teacher recommended that I do band next year. And I was going to do the clarinet because that's what my mom played. But I also kind of was interested in the saxophone. So I ultimately picked that after a lot of indecision because I could have the clarinet at home, saxophone at school, kind of do both.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, didn't end up doing that. Stuck to saxophone. But
and you actually first heard classical saxophone at the University of Vermont, right?
Yeah, it was. My teacher recommended that I go see a senior student of his perform the Glazunov Saxophone Concerto at UVM. And when he played, I was so entranced. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. It was really amazing. And that was one of the moments that I knew that I wanted to pursue music more.
And I read that you play in an old school Vermont town band, which is just classic. Tell me about that.
We've been doing it for probably 3 years. It's my mom, my sister, and I all play in it. There's about 25 of us in the band, which outnumbers the audience. we just play marches and it's a lot of fun.
Wow. And like pretty much everyone, you love the Vermont outdoors. Do you have favorite places where you go to camp?
Yeah, we go to Burton Island to camp. We've been going for 10 years now. We started going when I was 6 and we stay on the waterfront of Lake Champlain with a lean-to.
Oh, a lean-to.
We put the tent in the lean-to.
Right.
And every time we go, there's always some big storm that, like, implodes the tent.
Such is life. It's always raining every time I go camping, too.
Yeah.
All right, so like a typical Vermonter, and I love this about you, you think globally. What are some of the things that you care about?
I care a lot about shopping sustainably and shopping ethically. So I try to get all of my clothes from ethical sources.
What's a bit of advice you can give our listeners as to how they can be better citizens of the world in that respect?
Research before you buy something. You can research some online stores that have good sustainability practices.
and buy clothes from there. A lot of them can be expensive, so maybe buy basics from there and then spend more money at thrift stores where you can get used clothing. And also just use the clothes that you already have. You don't have to go out shopping all the time.
I don't understand this whole like, oh, it's a new season, let me change my wardrobe.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, it's been such a treat to get to know you.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Jamie Billings, 16 years old from Underhill, Vermont.
Daily joy. Couldn't we all use a bit of daily joy in our daily routines? Well, if you sign up for From the Top's Daily Joy video series, you'll have incredibly joyful minute-long music videos delivered to you daily. Sign up at fromthetop.org and cheer up.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. jkcf.org. From the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com. And from the Arcus Foundation, dedicated to the idea that people can live in harmony with one another and the natural world.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. Coming up, a 17-year-old pianist from Chicago performs the majestic final movement from Stravinsky's Firebird Suite. Pianist Peter Dugan, From the Top's host, is sponsored by Susan and Gerald Slavitt. Special thanks this week to Yamaha Artist Services for providing the beautiful Yamaha CFX Concert Grand Piano heard in the Boston recordings on this program. Peter.
Thanks, Joanne. The next piece we're going to hear is for unaccompanied violin, and it's just haunting and mesmerizing. I love this piece, and it's kind of perfect for the violinist who performed it because it combines influences of Indian classical music and Western classical music. The musician who's going to play it is 15-year-old violinist Vibha Janakiraman. She's from Westchester, Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia, but her musical roots span two continents. So her grandfather is a prominent musicologist and performer of Indian classical music. And that's how Vibha was introduced to music in that tradition. But she's also grown up in the Philadelphia area where she's been immersed in Western classical music as well. So it all makes for this really stunning performance. This piece is called Darshan, and it's by composer Rina Esmail. We heard Darshan by Rina Esmail, performed by 15-year-old violinist Vibha Janakiraman from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Vibha, that was so enchanting. The performance was absolutely captivating. It was soulful from the start to the finish in the most sublime way. Thank you so much for that performance. You have serious Indian classical music in your family. Your grandfather, for instance, tell me about him.
So my grandfather is a professional musician and musicologist, and I've taken a lot of inspiration from him just by listening to some of his lecture demonstrations and his performances, as well as getting to learn some pieces from him when I was younger.
What does he think of your path now in Western classical music?
So it's always funny, whenever we send him a recording of one of my performances, he always says something along the lines of, "I can't understand any of the music, but I can hear your passion, and I love that so much." And that's always really special to me to hear, but also really funny. And I think it really showcases how just loving playing music and being so passionate about it is something that sort of transcends that barrier.
Growing up immersed in the Indian classical music tradition, what do you really treasure about that music?
In seeing how my family back in India relates to the system of music, it's much more than just music, because it's so intertwined with just the cultural aspects of it. And I think that's a really beautiful part of it. And the Indian system of solfege is, because I've just sort of heard it all my life, I'm 10 times more fluent in it than I am in like do, re, mi solfege.
Wow. So where we would say do, re, mi, what do you say?
So we say sa, ri, ga, ma, pa, da, ni, sa.
One of the things that I'm really drawn to about the Indian classical music is how important the space between the notes is as well. You know, the way you get from one pitch to another.
Yeah. So it's actually very, very specific, and it's very specific to each piece and to each what we call a ragam. So a ragam is basically, it's built on a set of notes, but it's more than just a scale. So it's always a very tricky thing to try to explain accurately, but if you had a line with a scale on one end and a melody on the other end, I think a ragam would fall somewhere in between. So there are sets of phrases and like modes of melodic direction that are specific to each ragam, but they are built on these underlying scales and scale patterns. So yeah, each ragam has its very specific properties, if you will, about how to move from note to note, and even pitch-wise, like if one note is slightly lower in one certain ragam and slightly higher in another one. And so the way you travel between notes and the way you build phrases is very specific, and at the same time, you need a certain creativity to be able to do it.
It's so fascinating to sit here and chat with you about these things. I could do it all day. Also, we got to hear those exact qualities that you're talking about in the performance that you gave. And it's great to just come full circle with that. Thank you again for being here with us and for that magical performance.
Thank you.
From the Top is also presenting concerts by our young musicians every 2 weeks on Facebook and YouTube. Search for From the Top on Facebook or go to youtube.com/from the top.
Igor Stravinsky created his own piano versions of his famous orchestra works, and they are breathtaking. They totally translate and deliver all the muscularity and powerful architecture of the originals. And those transcriptions are also technical monsters. Happily, though, 17-year-old pianist Joshua Moon is up for the challenge. Joshua is from Chicago, Illinois, and here he is performing the final movement from Stravinsky's Firebird Suite.
Thank you.
17-year-old Joshua Moon from Chicago, Illinois, performed the finale from Igor Stravinsky's Firebird Suite. Joshua, bravo. You just harnessed the full power and color of a symphony orchestra in a way that culminated with this massive, just exuberant sound. And yet, at the beginning of this piece, it's so delicate. It's so pristine, the color. What's going through your mind right before you start that movement?
Oh, right before those opening notes, I'm like, please, please, I need these notes to sound in the right hand. I'm just so worried that because it's so soft and delicate and sensitive and sentimental, and it's just so fast. It's one of the biggest challenges of the best instrument in the world.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that. Now, you come from a pretty prominent musical family. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. So, my mother and father raised me in Chicago, Taj Mahal and June Moon. And my father, June Moon, from the age of 10, I think, was a professional drummer who toured around with the Staple Singers from Chicago. He toured all over the world with a lot of different groups. And so all of this information that he gleaned from his career was passed down to me. So I've been able to spend a good amount of time for a 17-year-old in certain environments like this. So I'm super comfortable, super happy to be here.
Man, the Staples Singers, it's so cool. I grew up listening to the Staples Singers. Obviously, you did too. That's amazing. Your dad toured with them. But I know he didn't actually want you to do music originally as a kid, right?
Yeah. So my mom was the big, passionate one that wanted me to play the piano. And my father just did not, was not interested in raising a musician at all. My sisters had been pretty talented, especially my youngest one at violin. And as soon as my dad was excited to hear her and start pushing her, she quit. And I think he was just worried about that. So my mom was really the one who started me off and kept making sure that I was getting piano lessons. Yeah.
Right. So now here you are doing classical music, something that's sort of separate from the musical career that your dad had. How did you find yourself there in the classical world?
Oh, man. Well, my teacher just started me on classical music because classical music is sort of the stepping stone in any genre of music. And my interest is really like in playing pop music or rock and roll or hip hop. If I was going to play an instrument, I'd want it to be like a cool genre. And it didn't end up turning out to be that way. My teacher kept throwing classical music in front of me and I kept diving into the repertoire. And eventually I sort of just completely forgot what I was doing here. Like, oh man, I wanted to play some pop music. Where's the pop music? And turns out I didn't need it. You know, classical music was just, it is super fulfilling for me to play as a pianist.
You know, you mentioned cool genres of music, but I got to say, like, you make classical music cool.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
Growing up, for you, growing up in an industry, the classical music industry, in which historically Black classical musicians are underrepresented, what does it mean for you to be in that role?
Well, I don't like to view things like with the chip on my shoulder, but I think that I'm super honored to hold a title and be a person of color in this industry. I think that it's something that's super important to bring into the classical music industry. And I think the people that have been to this point and beyond have done incredible jobs, like Anthony McGill, like Andre Watts, like Damari McGill. And I just hope to be up there with them someday. I think it's fantastic. And those have been role models of mine. And I just wish to be up there with them and for other Blackies to look at them and us and just, you know, have hope.
Well, you're well on your way. Joshua, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you. And thank you again for that Stravinsky performance, which really created a moment of perfection for all of us. We enjoyed it so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Joshua Moon, 17 years old from Chicago, Illinois. Well, I'm sad to say it, but Joshua is our last performer, and so it's time to say goodbye. But I want to thank all the young musicians on the show, not only for sharing their music, but also for sharing their humanity. And to all of you listening from your kitchen, or in the car, or maybe at the laundromat, watching the clothes spin round and round, thank you for being with us. I'm pianist Peter Dugan. Please join us next week for From the Top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker, with post-production mastering and editing by senior producer Tom Vagley. Our music director is Megan Swan, and the production manager is Matt Dykeman. Our sound team includes editor and technical guru John Escobar, along with our longtime technical director, Barrett Ouellet. Additional editing this week by Dave Norville. From the Top's executive director is Gretchen Nielsen, and I'm Joanne Robinson. Special thanks to all the engineers who ran our remote sessions today, Richard Davis and Gil Schuster at Merkin Hall in New York City, Doug Ross at Turtle Studios in Philadelphia, and Jeremy Whetstone at Piano Forte in Chicago. Our in-person work at Q Division Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, was engineered by John Escobar and James Bridges, with help from Henry Soltz and Roxy Freeman. Additional thanks to Bonnie Barrett and Makia Matsumura at Yamaha Concert Artists for facilitating our use of the Yamaha CFX Concert Grand Piano heard on today's program, and to Ed Velauskas and John Lupfer at Q Division. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts. On the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide to address inequality in all its forms. Learn more at fordfoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at macfound.org.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You know, while From the Top is on NPR, it's not actually owned by NPR. It's an independent nonprofit company based in Boston. And every year it takes a huge push for us to make the show happen financially. So I ask you to please consider donating to our organization so that we can bring you joy, podcast after podcast. Go to fromthetop.org and click on support. Thank you.